Amen. In the 8th chapter of the book of St. Mark's Gospel, verse 22, speaking of Jesus, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Listen. After that, verse 25, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. No matter who you are, or what your status in life may be, if you have ever been touched by the hand of God, you will never be the same. You may backslide on God. You may go back out in the world and go deeper in sin than you've ever gone. But you'll never forget the time that Jesus touched your life. There's something about the touch of the Lord that's different than any other touch. Once the Lord lays His hand on your life, you'll never forget that. Listen to me, boys and girls. When I was a little boy about the size of this boy right there reading the Bible. Come on up here, so son. No, the other one right behind you. One right behind you. The little boy right behind you. When I was just about this little boy's size. Right here. I went to the church. My mother took me there. And I was just about the size of this boy. And I heard our preacher preaching. And I went home and my mama sent me out to feed the chickens. And I got me a can full of feed. And I went out and began to throw this small grain out to the chickens. And the chickens began to gather around me. And I said to myself, this would be a good time to do some preaching. Got all these chickens around me. And so I started preaching. Took the same subject that our pastor preached. And you say, well, that's right. Jesus said, what you hear in the ear, let speak. And so I began to preach to those chickens. Oh, I've preached to a lot of them since then. Men and women that didn't have enough backbone to get in and live for God. But as I preached to those chickens, I learned many lessons. One of them is when those chickens would start running out of feed, they wouldn't stay around to hear me preach no more. But I'd reach in that old can and throw another hand of feed out there, and they'd come back around and listen for me to me preach some more. But while I was preaching, a strange thing happened. You can cast it off however you want to cast it off. But as I was preaching, God touched my heart. And I began to cry and weep, even though I was only preaching to the chickens. And I could not quit crying, just a small child. After a while, I began to sob and weep. And I went into the house. You can sit out, son. I went into the house and I told my mother, said, Don, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? And I said, Mama, I've been out there preaching to the chickens. And I don't know why, but I started crying. And my mother, being a spiritual woman, she said, son, I know what it is. Said, God's laid His hand on you. He's put His hand on you. Kneel here with me beside the couch. Time has went on and many years have passed. And I've never forgot the first touch that I received from the Lord God Almighty. Many things have happened. But I'm praying again here this morning in Gilbertown, Alabama. Touch me again. Oh Lord. That is my subject today. Touch me again. Oh Lord. Listen to me this morning in our text today. They bring a blind man to Jesus. And as they brought this man to Jesus, they besought him that he would touch this blind man. Jesus spit on his eyes and touched him and asked him if he saw aught. And he said, I see men as trees walking. But Jesus knew that men were not supposed to look like trees. Men are supposed to look like men. And so Jesus gave him another touch on those eyes and made him look up. And now he said, what do you see? And he said, I see all men clearly. In my spiritual life, when men begin to look like trees, and I don't see a soul inside of every man, woman, boy, and girl, then it's time for me to cry out and say, touch me again, O Lord, with your mighty touch. Oh, there's nothing like the touch of the hand of Jesus. And some is strange, but lots of times we fail to recognize the touch of God in others. I hope, Brother Long don't care for me using him for an example, but I was watching the folks up here this morning singing. And Brother Long was standing up here singing away. And then all of a sudden I saw the expression on his face change. I said, yes, he just got touched by the hand of the Lord. You got a touch up here while you're singing, didn't you? Oh, there's something about it. It changes the countenance. It changes the outlook on life. If today you're burdened down, if today your heart is heavy, if today there's problems surrounding you, you don't need to turn back on God. All you need is to cry out and say, touch me again, O Lord, with your mighty touch. Listen to me this morning. In Mark the first chapter, there was a leper that came to Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus knew the law, that he was not allowed to touch a leper, but he broke the law. Amen. As far as the Jewish customs were concerned, and even the Mosaic law, because he was the Son of God, the King of heaven and in earth, and he reached out and said, I will be thou clean. And Mark said he touched him. Oh, listen today. What we need in this hour is not more discouragement. We don't need more people downcast. What we need to do is cry out and say, touch me again, O Lord. Touch my life again. Refresh me again in the Spirit. Many times preachers become discouraged. Many times saints become discouraged. But preachers, let me tell you something. When you get discouraged, amen, don't resign your church. Amen, don't leave your post of duty. Just cry out and say, Lord, amen, I see men as trees, but I want to see them more clearly. Touch me again. And once you get that touch, you can see things clearly. Once the Lord has touched you again. So many things in life to mar our vision. And we become to the place of obscurity where we can't see things clearly. But oh, the touch of the Master's hand clears things up. Some time ago, we were in a service and there was two young men came into the service. I think they were weightlifters. You know, pump weights. And they wanted everybody to see their big muscles. Had on t-shirts and the sleeves are short enough in a t-shirt. But they had the sleeves rolled up in them t-shirts. Sitting back there, I went back to shake hands with them. And I guess they wanted to impress me with their strength. Boy, one of them got a hold of me and just pressed down on me. I mean, hurt my hand. Well, I guess he wanted me to know, Brother Ronnie, that he had the power. And I thought, well, I'll see what happens. The service progressed. They sat back there with their fist underneath their arm, showing them big muscles. And then I kept on preaching, and the power of God began to move. And I looked back there, and the biggest one began to cry. And God said, I just touched that man. When I opened the altar call, amen, those two big men, amen, with their muscles, come down the aisle weeping and crying in the presence of God. There's something about the touch of the Lord that changes the hearts, breaks down the stubborn will, and brings men to God. God. Listen to me. Amen. I believe in holiness preaching. I've preached a lot of it. And by the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach some more. But you can preach holiness and standards all you want to. But if God doesn't touch the hearts of those that are listening, your preaching will fall on deaf ears. But if God takes His Spirit and touches that heart, that holiness will get in that heart. And folks will live the life. How many can say with me this morning, touch me again, O Lord. Touch me again, O Lord. In our lives, we've had many sad experiences. We've had some great times. But one of the saddest days of our life, several years ago now, about 10 years ago, Sister Rich was upstairs. I was downstairs. I heard her let out a scream. And when I rushed up the steps, I never heard her scream like that. In all the years we've been married, I rushed up the steps. And there in her hands, she held a little lifeless child of ours. And I looked at it. And I saw the terror and the fear on her face. And I knew, brother, I knew that Satan had made a big swing that day. Seemingly. Amen. Our hearts were saddened. Sister Rich began to grow her, pull herself into a shell, withdraw herself. And she was still doing my cooking and being a wife to me, but she wasn't the same. Something about that did something to her heart. And I tried to love her more. I tried to be kinder to her. Tried to show her, amen, more consideration. But it seemed like the more I tried to help her, the more withdrawn she became, because she was wounded in a spot that my words and all the things I could do could not touch the place where she was wounded. I talked to the ladies in the church that I was pastoring. And I said, Sister Rich has hurt so bad over the loss of this baby. Amen. Nothing I can do can help her. And she's withdrawn. Seems like I'm living with a stranger. I said, you ladies will have to help me. They begin to talk to Sister Rich. And they begin to work with her and pray with her. And some of them even came over, I believe, and helped her do some of her work in her home. Thank God for good Christian women. But all that they could do could not help her. But one night in the night, she woke me up. I said, honey, wake up. I said, what is it? She said, I got something I need to tell you. I said, what is it? I said, oh, the Lord has just visited me. The Lord has just visited me. And I said, what is it? She said, He let me see into heaven. And said, I saw a little baby there, safe in the arms of Jesus. And said, it looked right down at me and said, Mama, don't you worry about me anymore. I'm all right, right where I'm at. That touch brought her completely out of that condition that she was in. And she returned to perfect normal. Amen. Just one touch of the hand of God. What I'm trying to tell you, there are still outstretched hands today. There is still a Savior today who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And you need a touch this morning. You ought to cry out to God and say, touch me again, O Lord. Oh, listen to me. You may have come to this camp meeting discouraged. You may have come with problems that you can't cope with. I'll not say that every problem will be dissolved, but I'll say your attitude will be changed toward that problem if He'll touch you again in your heart and give you new inspiration. Touch me again this morning, oh Lord. Listen, in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke, coming out of the city of Nain, comes a little widow woman and a funeral procession. They're on the way to bury the widow woman's only son. Here's her husband has been gone for a while, and now her only last possession, her son, has died. And they're on their way to the graveyard to bury her son. The mourners are coming behind the coffin. And they're weeping and crying. And this little mother's heart is broken. On the way to the cemetery, all of a sudden, a man by the name of Jesus steps out and stops that funeral procession. And I can hear him say, "Sir, we're on our way up here to the graveyard. We've got to bury this man." And I can hear him say, "No, this is far as this funeral procession is going." He looks over and sees the greatest need is not raising the son from the dead, but the greatest need right now is this broken heart of the mother. And the first thing he does is touches her heart and says, "Woman, weep not." Oh, the Bible doesn't record what happened. But I promise you, when Jesus said, "Weep not," amen, that was the end of her sorrow right there. Even though her son was lying there in the coffin. And then Jesus, with those hands of his, reached out, my brother, and he touched the bier or the coffin. That's what he did. He touched it. And he said to the young man, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Then he reached over and took him by the hand and delivered a live man back to his mother. I have no way of proving this, brother, but I can see the funeral procession turning around, heading back down toward the city. All of a sudden, maybe somebody coming out of the city saying, "Is the funeral over already?" And I can hear somebody say, "Well, this funeral's been canceled. Not going to be no funeral. We just canceled it." "What do you mean they don't cancel funerals?" "Well, this has been canceled. We met a man on the way to the graveyard. Had such power in his hands. When he touched that old coffin and said to that young man, 'Arise,' he got up out of that coffin. Amen. He's touched him. And the funeral has been canceled." I say we're serving a God who has power to touch today. Touch me. Touch me again. Oh, Lord. What do you need this morning? What do you need today in your life? Another touch. Brother Fred, I was getting ready to preach one morning at the church in Norman. And one of the brothers in the church called me and said, "Brother Rich, I'm bringing the professor from the Oklahoma University to church with me today." I said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "He's a college professor, teaches a class of 250 Greek students, has degrees in anthropology and two or three other ologies I'm not familiar with. I believe, if I remember right, I think Sister Rich knows about this one. He voted the most talented, a man that's qualified in the entire university." Said, "I'm bringing him to church with me." And the Lord had dealt with me about 7 o'clock that morning while I was praying. Said, "Preach this morning on the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt and mire." But when I heard the professor was coming, I thought, "Oh my, I've got to get a hold of something else. Here this professor's coming. Amen. Maybe I ought to try something else." He came in with his wife. And they sat down in the congregation. We had our Sunday school. And they introduced me to Professor Nolan. And as service progressed, I thought, "Lord, what can I preach? Here's a man that teaches Greek. They take the Bible there in many instances as a textbook and study it not for its spiritual meaning, amen, but they use it as a textbook, amen, to study Greek." I said, "Here's a man can speak about 7 or 8 different languages. And here he is in my congregation." And the Spirit of the Lord told me, said, "You just preach what I told you to preach this morning. And you leave the rest of it to me." This Oklahoma farm boy got up and began to preach. "Oh, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. That's why you've got so much trouble in your soul. That's why you're in a turmoil today. The wicked cannot rest. It's like the sea that cast up dirt and mire." As I preached that message, I forgot about that professor. I forgot about him even being in the congregation momentarily. And I began to preach and the Holy Ghost came upon me. When I opened the altar service that morning, here comes a weeping professor down the aisle. Amen. Kneeling at an old-fashioned altar to seek God. We prayed with him a good long while. He reached up and took me by the hand. And he said, I have never heard such words. Ah, professor in Greek. Amen. Speak at least 7 different languages. But he said, I've never heard such words. It wasn't the words flowing from the lips. Amen. Of this old country preacher. God touched that old man's heart. And the Spirit of God moved in his soul. That's the answer to the world's needs today. Is to be touched by the hand of Jesus. Just a touch of His love. His wife himself withdrew from the Episcopalian church and started to the Holiness Church in Norman. Wasn't too long afterwards until his wife passed away. And he called me and said, Brother Rich, I want you to preach my wife's funeral. So now we will have professors as pallbearers. 6 professors, pallbearers, 12 honorary pallbearers, which will be professors from the university. Everything that was done by those from the university. But he said, I want you to preach. Now, the Lord, what can I preach to a group of professors in a meeting like this? And all of a sudden, the Lord said, tell them about the merchant man that was seeking the pearl of great price. And I thought, my, what such a small subject to preach to a group of professors. But as I began to minister in that service that day, I said, Sister Nolan was like this merchant man. She'd spent her life in many different churches searching for that one pearl. But in a little holiness church down on the corner, she found that pearl of great price. I'm not saying it because it was me. It wasn't anything that I'd done, something that any preacher here could have done. But God touched those old professors' hearts as they'd come by and shake my hand. Many of them said, Preacher, we've been to a lot of funerals, but we never heard a message like that. What I'm telling you, brethren, stay in contact with Jesus where the hand of God can touch you. Your life, and you'll touch others. If Jesus touches you, you'll touch others as you minister the Word of God. Touch me again, oh Lord. My brother Bill, some of you heard him not far from here. Amen. Not long ago, old Bill was a wild one. He was raised in a good holiness home. My mother was a Christian. But at about 18, he went to the state of Kansas to the wheat harvest. Got up there and got to drinking. Had planned on quitting drinking as soon as he got back home. Didn't want mama and daddy to know that he drank. But you see, sin has a way of wrapping its cords around your heart. And the first thing you know, even though Bill was home, again with mom and daddy, one night he went out and came in drunk. I'll never forget it. Broke my poor old mother's heart. Amen. She wept and cried. Stayed up the rest of the night. Weeping because of my brother's condition. Time went on. When my brother saw he was exposed, he turned fully to drink. Became a drunkard. You probably heard his testimony. Time and time again. Came that close to death. Many times. One night as him and some of his buddies was drinking, they stopped by a little old church about the size of this one, and they were having church in there. One of them... And that reached beyond that alcohol effects as the old-fashioned preacher began to preach. There was a hand that reached out and touched my brother's heart. And the first thing you know, my brother was in the altar praying. He stayed so long and his buddies run off and left him. And the preacher had to bring him home. When he came in that night, mama started getting up and lighting the lamps. She thought he was drunk again. Then she looked over and saw the preacher standing there. And my brother said, Mama, it's not what you think tonight. Amen. I've been to church. Jesus has saved my soul. What I'm trying to tell you, there's a touch, amen, that can reach beyond sin's effects. That can reach beyond the touch of the devil and the hold of the devil. Oh, today, if men would just open their hearts and let God touch their hearts. Touch me again. I'm about giving out. I've been preaching. This is my sixth camp meeting this summer. I'm about wore out, but all I need is another touch. Ooh, hallelujah. If I can get a new touch, I'll be all right. Hallelujah. Sister Sandra, I remember one time I was down in Mexico. And I've been warned more times than once, don't just eat anything and everything you see down there. But I've ate everything from burro, that's donkey meat, to a lot of other things. I don't know what I ate. I've ate a little bit of everything, I guess, down there. But you've never been sick until you get sick in Mexico. Now you say, well, I've been sick. No, you've never been. You may think you were so sick you could die. But I'm telling you, you've never been sick until you get that bug they got down there. You've never been. You may think you have. But oh, you haven't been sick to your stomach till you get that bug down there. And I picked that thing up. And oh, I kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Finally, they hauled me out of there. Time they got me back to Oklahoma, I was so weak, they had to help me in the house. I had a camp meeting coming up. And here I am in just a few days, and here I am. Well, as soon as I get home and start eating some of Sister Rich's hot biscuits and gravy. Oh, yeah, that ought to bring anybody out of it. Big old biscuits and gravy. And that's the way to eat, you know. Amen. But when I got there, I found out even her biscuits and gravy didn't look good. And I knew something was wrong. I kept getting weaker instead of stronger. And the days for me to go in the camp meeting was coming closer and closer and closer. Finally, Sister Rich, and sometimes these women have got a lot more sense than we've got in a lot of areas. Not in every area. I'm not for ERA now. But she came to me and she said, now, honey, you're going to have to call those folks. God expects you to use a little wisdom. You're going to have to call them and tell them you can't be there. You're sick and sick man and no use of you going in your condition. You couldn't preach if you was there. But the day came for me to leave. I got my airplane ticket the day before. I was so weak, my children had to carry my suitcases to the airport. I told her, I said, honey, I'm going to go as far as I can go. And if I fall on the way, I can tell God in the judgment, Lord, I went as far as I could go. Got on the plane there in Oklahoma City and flew into the Atlanta airport. When I got off at the Atlanta airport waiting to make a connection to another city, I was so sick, I couldn't even hardly hold up my head. I went to a phone and called the Jersey folks. There's some of them that was right here. And I told them, I said, I'm over here in Atlanta airport. They said, I'm a sick man. They said, do you want us to come after you? And I said, no. Gather the church into the church and pray for me. After a while, I made my connection, got back on another plane. We went up 30-some thousand feet in the air. And all of a sudden, I felt a strange sensation. I thought, uh-oh, we're in air pockets. Hey, man, we're in air pockets. My stomach's beginning to roll again. We're in air pockets. I'm going to get air sick. You know, nothing more embarrassing than be up there, all those people, and have to heave. You know, that's really embarrassing. Oh, no, I'm going to get air sick. But then all of a sudden, I noticed I wasn't getting sick. And I noticed we wasn't in air pockets. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I've just touched you. And I raised a hand and said, hallelujah. And the man sat next to me said, what'd you say? I said, hallelujah. The Lord just touched me. Oh, hallelujah. When that old plane landed and I come to my final destination, those that picked me up, they said, we thought you was drunk. Said, you got off that plane, the first thing you did is start lifting those hands. I'll tell you, God had touched me. I went to my room that night and I opened up the Bible before I went to bed, and the Lord directed my attention to Psalms 92 and 10, which simply said, thou shalt be anointed with fresh oil. Brother, I got a hold of that scripture and I've been a preaching ever since. I'll tell you what we need. It's just another touch. It'll take care of every problem. Touch me again, oh Lord. When I guess I better hurry and close. But when Jesus came into the house of Simon Peter's mother, he saw her sick there with a fever. And he said, where do you keep your anacin? Or your Tylenol? Huh? What did he say? The Bible said he touched her. And immediately her fever left her. Woo! Just touched her. My, there's something that comes out of that man. If it ever touches you, it'll go right through you. Oh, let me tell you something, holiness folk. I believe we're the best people on the earth. I don't mind telling you. Amen. I think we're the cream of the crop. But I don't care how good your standard is and how long your dresses are and how long your hair is. If you don't get a fresh touch from the Lord occasionally, you'll die out and your spirit will get hateful and you'll not be able to worship with others. Brother, it takes a new touch, a fresh touch to keep us alive in the Lord. My God, touch me. Oh, God, touch me again this day. Let me hurry. In Mark 10:13, we find some parents, and they brought young children to Jesus, desiring that He would touch them. Oh, that should be the desire of every mother and daddy's heart. Lord, touch my children. I thought about Brother Prescott. I've been thinking about their little baby. I think it's so cute. You know, that ought to be the desire of your heart, that Jesus would just touch my child. Oh, Brother Hill out of Iowa. He had several girls, and you know him, Brother Fred. And girls was grown, just about. And God sent a little old boy into their home. And Brother Hill was down in Norman one day, and I heard him talking to that little boy, just a baby, 3 months old. He said, "Son, you'll never smoke a cigarette, son. No alcohol will ever come in your lips, son." And just talking to that three-month-old. I thought, now, that boy can't understand what he's saying. That baby, and I began to talk to him. I said, "Brother Hill," I said, "that child can't understand you." He said, "No, but that child has a spirit. And I've got a spirit." And said, "The Lord's spirit is in my spirit. And I'm trying to get this spirit that the Lord's given me over in this child." Said, "I tell him every day, you'll never, no curse words will ever come out of these lips. It may seem foolish, but I'll tell you what he was wanting is the Lord to touch his child. I don't know of anything any greater than for the Lord to touch your children." And Jesus didn't refuse. Some of them didn't think he ought to take time out for the children. But my Bible says when they brought him desiring that he would touch them, he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. Let me tell you, preacher, something. When we get too busy for the children, we're busier than Christ was. And no man ought to be busier than Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the children that's been touched by the hand of Jesus Christ. Why don't you say it with me? Touch me again, oh Lord. Touch me again. Ooh. Touch me again. Jeremiah said, "I'm not going to preach no more in that name." He said, "Oh, that was a place in the wilderness. A place for wayfaring men. That I just flee from this people and go from them. For they be an assembly of adulterers and treacherous people." Like to get away. But one day, the Lord must have touched him. For he said, "Man, it's like a fire that's shut up in my bones." Oh, hallelujah. David must have had that same thought when he said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Then I'd just fly away and be at rest." Do you ever feel like you need to just fly away? Troubles and problems crowding in around you. Sick in body, brother. Oh, you wish like David, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I'd just fly away." There's no place to fly. I'm telling you, there's no place to get away from your troubles. But there's one thing you can do. You can get in the presence of the Lord and let Him touch your life. And then while the rest of the world is troubled all around you, you can sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, touch me again, oh Lord. touch me again. That's why Jacob was wrestling at midnight, trying to get another touch from the hand of the Master. I'm trying to close today. Oh, it's getting past, getting close to noon. But John the Baptist, that great man John, who Jesus himself said, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And it was John who said from his own lips, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. But in a moment of discouragement, even though he was standing for the truth, in a moment of discouragement, the devil slipped in and blinded John's eyes. And he said, told his disciples, said, go out there and inquire. Is this the Christ? Or should we look for another? I'm talking about John the Baptist. Said, is this the Christ? Or should we look for another? But Jesus told his disciples, said, you go back and shew John again. The blind are still receiving their sight. Deaf ears are being unstopped. Dumb tongues are still being loosed and talking. Amen. The dead are being raised, the leper being cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Amen. The Bible doesn't record it fully, but I believe when those disciples got back, said, John, don't you worry. Even though you're over here in prison, everything's still going right on schedule. The Son of God's still out there touching people. Eyes are being opened. Why, he walked down into the synagogue and told the little man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out. John, don't you worry. It's the Son of God, all right. I believe that gave John grace enough. Amen. To be willing to stay there, and he died for his cause, and he died for holiness right there in the kingdom, in the king's jailhouse. There, his head was lifted from his shoulders. I think it was a report that he got, and something touched his life. Touch me again, old backslider. You'll never fit in out there in the world. If God's touched your life, I've seen men that wouldn't talk about Jesus. God had touched their life in younger days. They wouldn't say a word about Him. But you let them get too much to drink, and something about that inner man would begin to be revealed. And they'd go to talking about religion. Some of them weep and cry. I'm not saying that saves them, but I'm saying that they never forget the touch of the Lord. Oh, young man, you're not too big or too little either to have Jesus touch your heart. This young boy right here, if God could touch my heart when I was preaching to those chickens, oh, He can touch every little heart in this place today. I remember just as clear as if I was preaching to them yesterday. Oh, lots of times I wondered why folks wouldn't stay with me. Amen. Because I didn't have no feed out there for them. Oh, hallelujah. But you get the feed out there. Something about that name of Jesus. Oh, brother, I can preach this morning about Don Rich for an hour and tell you to come on out to the tabernacle tonight, and I'm going to preach about Don Rich another hour tonight. A lot of you won't show up tonight. And if I tell you I'm going to start a revival and tomorrow night come on back in here and I'll be preaching another hour about Don Rich, you won't come back. But I can preach about the touch of the Lord today and say, come on out of the tabernacle tonight. I'm going to tell you more about the touch of Jesus. You'll be out there to hear me talk about Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Fred, in the Mark 11th chapter, somebody's already mentioned this. I believe maybe it's Brother Futrell. Whenever Jesus, He spoke to His disciples and said, you go into a city. Listen, young people. You go into a city, and there, where two ways meet, you're going to find a young ass's colt, on which never a man has sat. Unused, see? Never been used by man. Said, you loose that colt. And then bring him to me, and if anyone asks you what you're doing loosening the colt, you tell them that the Master hath need of it. Young people, children, the Master has need of that which has not been used by the devil. Amen. Has need of that which hasn't been abused by the devil. Sure, I'm glad for Brother Corley's testimony. I'm glad for Brother Futrell's testimony. But I'll tell you, brother, you're right. Amen. There's a greater testimony. Amen. Folks might wonder, Brother Rich, why do you spend so much time talking to our little children? I'll tell you why. If anybody asks me what I'm doing, I want them to know that the Master has need of that which has not been used by the devil and his hellhole. He's got the need of those that hadn't had alcohol and dope and nicotine in their bodies. So they loose this coat. Please listen now. They loose this coat and they bring him to Jesus. Now, he'd never been broke, but that doesn't matter. When they put their clothes upon him, Jesus, when his touch reached that stubborn spirit in that mule, it left him. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. Yeah, all my stubbornness is resolved. The moment you touch me, tell me where you want me to go, I'll go. As Jesus began to direct that little donkey into the city of Jerusalem, they began to lay coats down in front of that little donkey. They began to pull off their outer garments and lay them down. And here this little donkey comes, walking on the people's garments. And they're crying, Hosanna! And waving palm branches, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Now, a little donkey's smarter than some people I know. And smarter than a lot of preachers I know. A little donkey could have said, oh, look what they're doing for me. My, look how important I am. They're putting their clothes down and letting me walk. And they're crying, Hosanna in the highest. But that little donkey knew if it wasn't for that passenger he had on his back, he'd be just another little donkey coming into Jerusalem. But he knew the reason they were crying, Hosanna. It was because of the passenger that he was carrying. I'm smart enough to know, amen, that you wouldn't be having me here at this camp meeting, and they wouldn't be having me anywhere else if it was just Don Rich. But over 25 years ago, I got touched by the hand of Jesus, picked me up a passenger, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's what makes me what I am tonight or today. Have you got him in your heart? Do you want to be touched by his hand today? Backslider. Oh, yeah, let me hit the gospel singers a little while. If we're not careful, say, now, man, come here, Brother Fred. Brother Fred's one of my favorite singers. I don't care, Teddy. But I want you to know, buddy. Now, my favorite song that Brother Fred sings is Glory Road. And I think it's one of the best. And every time you ever came to my church, you never did come when I asked you to sing that song. Isn't that right? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, Fred, it's not the song nor that high voice that God has given you so much that makes that song important to me. But there's a passenger in here somewhere, been touched by Jesus. Oh, Sheila Mashanabahata Mahasataya. That's what makes it. If we're not careful, we'll think, my, look, they're clapping for me. They're standing up for my singing. Oh, no, when we're singing about Jesus. Amen. The reason folks stand to their feet, if they're really true and honest before God, it's because they're getting touched by the Spirit of the Lord as a song about Jesus goes forth. Oh, brethren, let's preach the holiness standard. Let's preach against the world. But let's not put anything above that lovely name of Jesus, for you see, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, amen, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let's lift up the name of Jesus and let's tell how he's touched and changed our lives. In closing today, one more thing I want to tell you. I was preaching, I believe it was about my first, I preached a few weekends, but my first revival was in Tehachapi, California. And the pastor and I was down at the church praying. And he said, Brother Rich, he said, you know we can pray here. Down the road about a block was a beer joint. He said, you know we can pray here. He said, God can touch somebody down in that beer joint. and bring them on out here to this revival and save them. I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't think that preacher knew what he was talking about. So I was preaching away every night. One night a man came in while I was preaching and came to the altar and was saved. And a few nights before that, it came up a big snowstorm. The Lord had dealt with me to preach on hell. And I got there and there's only about, we've been having good crowds. There's only about 6 or 8 people. A lot of snow. You know, I can snow so quickly in Tehachapi, California. Big snow on the ground. I said, now Lord, just the saints are here. And no use preaching on hell tonight. And so, time to preach came and the Lord wouldn't give me anything else. So I preached on hell just like everybody there was just about ready to slide off into the flames. Come in and prayed 2 or 3 minutes, went back. Next morning the sun was as shining, snow melting. That night we had a big crowd. And while I was preaching, this man came into the church and came to the altar. Next night he came back. And the next night, I believe he came back. 2 nights he came back. And on the second night, they opened testimony service and he stood to his feet. So the other night it was snowing. And I was sitting up here in a tavern. And I said, all of a sudden, my beer didn't taste good to me anymore. I said, I don't know what it was, but something just seemed to say, leave this beer and get out of this place. I said, I started out. I started down and said, it was snowing and the snow changed to rain. I said, I stopped out here under your canopy of the church. I said, I heard the preacher preaching about hell. And I went back to my motel room. I'm here on business in this little city. So I went back to my motel room and said, I couldn't rest. Something about it stayed with me until I could come here and give my heart to the Lord. What I'm trying to tell you, the touch of God reaches farther than what we can see. Mama, you can pray here today, and that wayward boy or girl over there somewhere else can be touched by the hand of Jesus. Oh, I've heard young men tell about when they're on the battlefield. Mama or daddy or the saints home praying. All of a sudden they get new courage, new strength. Wouldn't realize why. There was a reason for it, Brother Futo. Somebody had touched God in their behalf. And God had touched them. Take courage today. Amen. If you're downhearted, just say, touch me again. Oh, how many could stand another touch? Some of the young people here, I've been burdened for you. I've talked to some of you in this meeting because I know that you need another touch to go on. You can't go on unless you get a fresh touch. You can sit in the church where the doctrine is 100% correct, if there is such a church. You can sit in the church where the standard is high in every individual that attends that church. But if God's not moving in that church by His Spirit and touching hearts in that church, you will not have anything accomplished in that house. You heard me. I know I'm talking from 20-some years of experience. Oh, I've been where the preachers preach greater than I could ever think about preaching. But because there was no Spirit there, oh, brethren, that's the most important thing. Oh, if God will touch me, then I can touch others. If God inspires me, then I can inspire others. But without that, nobody will be touched, sister, by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it's one thing, Brother Robson, to feel a touch of old Brother Rich. Amen. That's one thing. There's another thing to feel the touch of the Master's hand. I want Sister Rich to come and sing a verse of He Touched Me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happens when He touches you. Something happens. Oh, I thought about the church I used to pastor in Kansas City. It was made up of exes. Nearly everybody in that church was either an ex-alcoholic, an ex-dope addict. Amen. They were exes. Just about everybody there, except for a few of the mainliners. Nearly everybody there was saved out of deep sin. And I've often thought about the touch of God. One night we was having a Holy Ghost service. And I was preaching and the Holy Ghost fell while I was preaching. And 6 people were baptized in the Holy Ghost while I was preaching. What do you think of that? And we got to shouting that night and glorifying God till about 3 a.m. One fellow had an open furnace back there that takes, not a furnace, but a deal that took the downdraft air. He got to shouting on that grill, and that grill gave away with him. He went clear up to his armpits. He had kept his hands in the air, he kept on shouting down in the, and there was a fellow standing back in the corner watching. A strange face. Boy, people was a running and a shouting, and the Holy Ghost was a moving, and God was knocking people out. I'm talking about a touch from the hand of Jesus. This fella tapped the man on the shoulder and asked, "Who's the main man here?" And they sent him up to me, and he said, "Sir, they tell me you're the man in charge." And I said, "No, I'm not in charge of this thing tonight. Jesus is in charge." And here's what he said. Listen, it may seem humorous. He said, "Sir, I have been to Ringham Brother Barnum and Bailey's circus. It's a 3-ring circus." I said, "They have a lot of excitement going there." So this is my first time to ever be in this kind of church. But I'd like to tell you something. You've got something here, amen, that they can't compete with. There was something about that spirit. Folks, let's don't cool down. Let's keep on shouting the victory. That's what the world's hungry for. Young lady, you need a touch. While every head's bowed before Sister Rich sings, could I see the hand of somebody today? You one time lived for Jesus, but now you know that you need another touch this morning. Could I see your hand quickly anywhere in this place today? Raise your hand. Lift your hand quickly right now. Right now, raise your hand. Say, "Brother Rich, I'm not saved, but the Lord's touched my heart. While you're preaching today, I felt the touch of Jesus in my life." Would you raise your hand anywhere? Hurry now. Sister Rich, sing for us.
Shackled by a heavy burden. The joy that floods my soul. Oh, something
happened.
Happened. And now I know He touched me and He made me whole.
Just a minute, Sister Rich. How many today you're saved, but you realize right now that there's only going to be one thing that will keep you going, and that's for you to get another touch in your life. Could I see your hand? Yes, I see those hands. One time I was preaching in the home church, and it was about the time that these mini skirts was so plentiful, and I was preaching against them. You know, you just don't preach holiness in the camp meeting. You preach it in the home church. One lady, her family come to church. Her and her husband and her sons come to church. And as she come by, a hateful spirit. I'm leaving.